special time for us that we've done each year before Christmas, getting together and eating and singing. And certainly we appreciate all of you who have come out tonight. And we certainly want to remember those who would like to be here tonight but are not able to for health reasons, my Brother Russell and Sister Sandra, and those who are up in age and don't feel comfortable driving tonight. We certainly want to remember them. We know they'd love to be here, but they're not able to. We want to remember to pray for them. We also want to pray for the family of Sister Frances Brister. She was had her funeral here today and was buried, and we want to remember that family in their time of loss. We'd also like to mention, as we have each Wednesday night, Eli Howard, the baby who was born premature to Brother Seth and Sister Catherine Howard. He had a surgery this week. It's called a PDA, something about closing a hole in his heart. And so the next 24 hours were critical, and they asked for prayer. So we want to continue to pray for him. He is still a miracle child that he is alive. Last week, as we had mentioned, they didn't expect him to live through the night, Tuesday night last week. And he's still here today. Nothing short of a miracle that he is still here, and it's the power of prayer. So we want to continue to pray for Brother Seth and Sister Catherine, especially little Eli, in our prayers tonight. We know there are others we'd like to mention. Is there anyone else we'd like to mention in a particular way this evening? Several on Zoom. Is there any? I continue to remember Elder Sonny Huckabee as he battles cancer. Pray the Lord bless him with a full and speedy recovery of that. Aunt Nancy Howell has been having some health problems. She's now at the swing bed in Meeple, so we pray on her behalf. If not, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother David if he can come up here and then lead us in prayer, and then we'll.
Lord, as we come before you in prayer once again, thank you so much for the great and wonderful blessings, miracles that we receive from you, Lord, and we are witness to. We know that we are not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, but we are so thankful that thou hast chosen to love us against all our nature, against our depravity. In spite of ourselves, Lord, you have chosen to love us, chosen to give us hope in this world, and we thank you for that as well. Lord, we know that we love you because we love the brethren, love each other. We want to thank you, Lord, for the love that we see and feel and experience here, that you've put the spirit of your Son in each one of our hearts, Lord, that it communes one with the other, Lord, and we can feel that life and see that life, that we can feel the love one to another, Lord, in this time of season, Lord, let that shine. Let it shine brighter than our depravity, brighter than our human nature, Lord. Let us see the love of God in each other. Love one another as you would have us love one another, Lord, as thy children. Lord, we thank you for the love that you've had for us to send your Son into the world to die for our sins. One day we'll all be together. There is no parting, but there is no sadness, sickness, trespasses, transgressions, Lord, that one day, because of thy love, we'll all be together in your love. Lord, as we change the order of service, we just ask that you be with the brother that stand before us, Lord, that you may clear his mind of all worldly things, of himself, and preach better than he is able to, Lord. Let us see the miracle of preaching this night, that we may come, may leave here tonight saying that it was good to be in the house of the Lord, Lord, that it may lift up our spirits, that it may renew our hope, that we may be strengthened to carry on throughout the next day and the day after that. Lord, we just ask that you be with each and every one of us here tonight to give us an open heart and open ear and open mind, Lord, to receive the words that are preached unto us. For in all things we give thanks. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Once again, we are thankful for this opportunity we have to worship the Lord together. I appreciate all of you who are here and all those who have connected on Zoom. They are so faithful to be with us each Wednesday night, and it means a lot to us. And we certainly beg an interest in your prayers with time we stand before you this evening. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. I'd like to consider a verse here in the 23rd Psalm, and I'm sure we'll probably hit other parts of the psalm, but it's our desire to just focus on one of the verses here in Psalm 23. 23rd Psalm is probably the most familiar psalm in the book of Psalms, and certainly it's not very long, but it's very precious and contains a lot of good things for the child of God to consider. In Psalm 23, verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." On this verse that we read to you, it's really right in the middle of this psalm. And the psalm is speaking about the Lord being our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. We are his sheep. And if we can gain a better understanding of a shepherd's role with his sheep, we'll have a better understanding of our interaction with God, a better understanding of ourselves, and certainly a better understanding of the Lord. Jesus himself in John 10 says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So certainly David, in speaking about the Lord being his shepherd, he's saying the same things Jesus said, and David, as a shepherd himself, understands this relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. The sheep, certainly, if you study those creatures, they are sheep. They are an animal that is very fearful. All animals are afraid of man, but some are more scared than others, I'll say. But sheep easily get scared. And what's described here in the fourth verse is a scary situation. That David is saying that he's going through, and I believe that you and I have gone through this, and if we have not, we just hadn't lived long enough. We are going to go through this. But he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now, it's my understanding that there is a real place in Israel that is called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It's on the way between Jericho and Jerusalem. It's a place that doesn't have much sunlight because of the way the valley is shaped, and you only have sunlight at high noon. Otherwise, there's shadows, there's darkness there. And that makes sense if you go read Luke chapter 10 about the Good Samaritan, that there was a man who was on the road between Jerusalem and Jericho and fell among thieves. That's a very good hiding place for a thief, and in the shadows, in the darkness, to prey upon someone in this place. So this is a scary place. It's a place that no one really wants to go to, but I'm thankful for the words here that he says, "I walk through." He's not staying there. He's not dwelling there. He's passing through. And I'm thankful to tell you tonight that the Lord being our shepherd, he knows where to lead us. He knows where we need to be. But that does not mean that we're not going to go through difficult, scary times. He says, "I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death," but he says, "I will fear no evil." And why is that? Because he says, God's with me. The comfort that the child of God gets is that the shepherd is leading him and that he is with him. But you know, a valley oftentimes is something that no one really wants to be in. No one really wants to be in a difficult place. We want to be on the mountaintop. We want to have that mountaintop experience. But you know, a valley is something that is healthy and good for the child of God. Valley is the place where the growing takes place. A valley is the place where the maturing takes place. A valley actually has a good view of the mountains. You know, I think Brother Robert Brown is on our service tonight out in California. And Brother Robert Brown and Brother Jeb Owen, they talking about agriculture. Brother Robert pointed out to Brother Jeb that the San Joaquin Valley in California feeds the world. Now, Brother Jeb thought that was an embellishment until he Googled it, looked it up, and it really does feed the world, the San Joaquin Valley. If you look at a map of California on the coastline, there was the mountain ranges, and on the Nevada side, there's mountain ranges, and right in the middle is this Green Valley. That's where I was born, by the way. It's a place that is very fertile. Now, California gets a bad rap here and in other places because everyone thinks California is Los Angeles and San Francisco, but those are just cities. Most of California is farmland or Sequoia National Forest. It's beautiful. Go see for yourself. But anyway, the valley is the place where the growing takes place. The valley is the place where the maturing takes place. And the child of God, certainly, we need to be growing. We need to be maturing. And oftentimes, it's the difficulties in life that cause and stimulates that growth. You know, we think about the valleys that we have under consideration. We sang a song tonight, The Lily of the Valleys. That's a quotation from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, where Solomon is speaking and prophetic Jesus speaking. The prophecy of what Jesus' words say, it says in Song of Solomon 2, verse 1, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. You know, you might be going through a dark, difficult valley, but I'll tell you, there's something beautiful there. It's the lily of the valleys. It's Jesus himself. He is the lily of the valleys. I think about that time in Daniel chapter 3 where there are three Hebrew children living in the land of Babylon, and the king of Babylon made this decree that he had set up this big golden image, probably as tall as this building, maybe even taller, and he says, we're going to play all kinds of music and all kinds of instruments, and when you hear the music, every one of you bow down to this image that I've made. Now, I don't know how many people were in Babylon at that time, but there were a lot of Israelites that were there. They were in captivity, thousands of them. But everybody bowed down to that image except for three people. Now, let me just say, if you're going to serve the Lord and do what the Lord has called on you to do, you're going to be different than everyone else. You'll be going a different direction than everyone else. It's not an easy journey trying to serve the Lord in a wicked world. But these three men that would not bow down to this image, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the king of Babylon was angry, and he says, I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm going to play the music again, and you're going to bow down, or I'm going to throw you in this burning, fiery furnace. Now, that's quite a choice that they were given. They says, we're not careful to answer thee. We're not going to even study or pray about this. Whatever you're going to do is up to you, but we are not bowing down to your image. And so he heated it seven times hotter, and he threw them bound into it, and it was so hot that the people that threw them in died and throwing them in. But when the king of Babylon looked in that furnace of fire, he says, did we not throw in three bound in this fire? Why do I see four in there loose and walking around? That's true. We threw in three bound. He says, I see four, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. I'm telling you, when you are in that valley, there is someone who is with you during that experience. I love the verse in Hebrews 13, verse 5. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That means no matter what you go through in life, you are never alone. You are never truly by yourself. The Lord is with you. And so you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear the evil that you go through. And if you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to be afraid either because the Lord is with you. No, I also see in this valley that there are certain things in life that we go through where we're at the point of death. It might be a sickness. It might be an accident or sin. Brother Hunter and I were talking at work just this week about this tornado that came through a place, and the mother of a child in a home was trying to go to her baby's crib to get the baby because the tornado was coming. And on her way, the roof of the house blew off and the crib was sucked out of the house. And I can't imagine going through an experience like that. But he told me the whole rest of the story. As the storm went away and they went to look for that baby, they were they didn't know if they'd ever see that child again. They found a place where a tree had fallen down, and they found that baby just sitting there just right asleep. And he said, don't you know there are angels? And he said, sometimes we take for granted the angels that are watching out for us. So I'm telling you, there is a Lord who is always looking out for you, that you don't ever have to be afraid of whatever may come your way, because the Lord is always with you and always looking out for what's best for you, because he's your shepherd and you're his sheep. You're his responsibility, and he's taking ownership of you. And so no matter what you go through in this life, the Lord is with you. Another thing I want to mention about this valley before we move on is that a valley reaps the benefits of what happens in the mountains. If the mountains receive rain or snow and that snow melts, that runs down into the valley. I love the verse in Joel chapter 13 where it says, the mountains drop down sweet wine and the hills melt with milk. And all that comes running down into the valley. We are blessed in the valley based on what happens on the mountaintop. You know, say, wait, why should we have church meetings? Or why should we do this or that? And you go to these church meetings and you experience that mountaintop experience. Well, I'm going to tell you, your valley and everyone else's valley experience is blessed by what goes on in the mountain. We sang tonight about we're marching upward to Zion, Mount Zion. What happens in Mount Zion makes a difference for that valley experience. Your valley experience will be different based on what happens here in Mount Zion. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground, Emmanuel's fertile fields here in the Lord's vineyard. So he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, it's easy for us to get afraid of things in life, but I would encourage all of us tonight to get fear out of our lives. There's a text in 1 John chapter 4 that says, perfect love casteth out fear, for fear hath torment. You ever want to be tormented in this life, just get afraid. Just be afraid, and it'll torture you, it will torment you, and it'll tear you up. But if we can get to the point where we have perfect love, and if you go read the rest of John 4, the love of God is described in this way. We love him, 1 John 4:19, because he first loved us. The reason we love God is because he first loved us, and the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 31:3 and in other places that God has loved us with an everlasting love. He's always loved us, and the reason we love God is because he first loved us. And then it goes on to say, we also ought to love one another. So there's three things. God loves us, and as a result of God's love for us, we love God, and we love one another. And if we can work to maturing that love and growing that love for God and for one another, he says perfect love casteth out fear. If we're still afraid, what are we in need of? More love. More love to Christ, more love to one another. And if we truly love the Lord, we will see that as a shepherd is with his sheep, so is the Lord with us. Now this valley is a place where, as we mentioned earlier, the thieves and robbers would love to hide in. In John chapter 10, Jesus makes this statement about being the good shepherd. He says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. And he says, and the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, I believe he's describing Satan and all those who are following Satan. Satan would not like nothing better than to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. But I want to point out something in the stealing, the killing, and the destroying. If you steal something from somebody, your car, someone steals your car, what did it take for you to get that car? Well, you had to save money and you had to purchase that car. And so I believe that when you see the word steal, you're losing your past. All that money you saved, that purchase you made, and the enjoyment you had in that car, that's all was in the past, it's now gone. Your past. I believe stealing is referring to robbing you of your past. If you kill, now you're stealing your future. You see that? If someone kills somebody, their future has now been robbed. So stealing is the past, killing is the future, and destroying is right now in the present. I believe that's what Satan's after when it comes to you and I. He wants to take away your past. He wants to rob you of your future, and he's working real hard to get rid of your present. That is what this thief comes to do. And this is a perfect place for him to do it, the valley of the shadow of death. You know, we mentioned for prayer, a deacon at Stratton, where Brother Jeb pastors, his wife, Sister Myra, passed away. And that was a very difficult time because, you know, she was interacting and doing well, and they had the surgery, and there were complications, and she passed away. Very sad situation, very difficult time for Brother Jim. And Brother Jeb explained during that time that the family struggled, as any family would, because she was such an important part of their family. But Brother Jim, he recognized when he thinks something or says something, he'd say, "That's the devil, isn't it?" He'd say, "That's the devil, isn't it? I hate him." He said, "I'm going to fight hard." And I say the devil works real hard to try to distract us and take us away from the things of God. He's coming to steal. He's coming to rob you of your past and your future. He wants to destroy your marriages and lead your children astray. He's doing all this to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I'm going to tell you, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to fear any evil because God is with us. He is with us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. I know there's some places in Isaiah that we'd love to turn to. Isaiah 41, very quickly, he says this in the 10th verse of Isaiah 41 verse 10. He says, "Fear thou not." You know, that expression, "fear not, don't be afraid," it's all over the Bible. And why is that? Because we're so easily afraid. "Fear thou not," he says, "for I am with thee." That's the comfort. You know, God doesn't just say, "Don't be afraid." He gives you a reason not to be afraid, and that reason is, "I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Skip on down to Isaiah 43. He says in verse 1, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not." There it is again. "For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." You know, God's describing what has happened. And it's very important for us to understand what the Lord has already done for us. Notice the past tense expression of this. You know, to use the word redeem, it means there's prior ownership. God, we were already his before the foundation of the world, as Brother Mickey preached in the funeral today. We were adopted in the Lord's family, and that took place before the world began. Otherwise, he'd have just said, "I bought thee." But no, he says, "I redeemed thee." And this is past tense. He says, "I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Verse 2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee." Now notice, he is comforting us and telling us not to be afraid because he is with us. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." You know, that's something I wish that we would always remember. The Lord is with us. I wish we'd recognize when the devil's there. And don't give in. Don't give in to his temptations, and don't give in to his subtle. You know, it seems like someone said recently that now the devil's in plain sight and people still don't see him. People still don't see that he's there. Oh, but I tell you, he is coming to destroy. He is not our friend, but the Lord is with us. And then he says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You know, there's comfort found in these tools of the shepherd. You know, the rod and the staff are two separate tools that the shepherd uses. The rod is, a wooden stick, about this long, not very long. But that rod is used as an extension of the shepherd's hand. That rod certainly has a function in what the shepherd does. You know, there's places where it says God or counts the sheep that come under the rod. They use the rod to inspect the sheep. That rod is used against the enemies of the sheep, the wolves and others that might come and prey upon the sheep. But that rod sometimes is used on the backside of the sheep if they're dragging behind or trying to go astray. And the fact that the rod and the staff comfort him, that comfort is found in that touch. And that touch, whether it might be pleasant or unpleasant, there is comfort that is found in that rod. The staff is much longer, and it's got a crook in it. And that staff sometimes is used to lift up a sheep out of trouble that has fallen into a pit. You know, a sheep on its back is like a turtle on its back. It can't recover itself. And, you know, we are very helpless in God's sight. And certainly we stand in need of his help. But, you know, we have a shepherd who has these tools that he uses, and they comfort us. There's comfort that is found in the interaction of the shepherd with his sheep. You know, sometimes the chastening rod of the Lord comes. Sometimes the comfort of the Lord's of his staff in lifting us up above our troubles for a little while. All this that happens, the interaction between the shepherd and the sheep, it comforts us because it lets us know he's there. You know, what a blessing to see and recognize that the Lord is there. These shepherd tools and the things that he describes here about how he makes us lie down in green pastures, he leadeth us beside the still waters. All this happens because he's nearby. He is near. The Lord is near. And sometimes we lose sight of that. We think that we're on our own, or we can make it on our own, or do the things we need to do in life without the Lord's help. But I'm here to tell you tonight that we are his sheep. He is our shepherd, and he's the one leading. He's the one that's guiding. He's the one that knows what's best for us. Sometimes we may not feel like our prayers are answered. I'm going to tell you, we have a shepherd that knows what's best for us, and he is taking care of us in any way that we need. This is a very comforting verse of scripture to me, and I trust it is for you, that the Lord is our shepherd, and though we go through difficult times in this life, we don't have to be afraid, for the Lord is with us. I thank you for your good attention tonight. If there's one or more here that would desire to unite with this church, we're going to give you that opportunity as we stand and sing. Brother Joe, number 287, if you'd like to, please stand while we sing. Number 287.